very successful day for you. What do you attribute your margin of your victory to, particularly?
Well, one is the hard work and the dedication of the volunteers and friends and family that have come out to support our 81 candidates across the 81 divisions in Kent County Council, and of course the position of the national parties and the national politics, and obviously clear endorsement of the direction of travel that Theresa May is taking at the moment, with a very strong stance on the Brexit negotiations and all the other good policies that Theresa May has introduced since she became Prime Minister, in trying to genuinely make sure that we are here to help and support everybody. And that's my sort of politics, in making
sure. Is it more about Theresa May than your track record, then? Is that what you're saying?
I think that, yes, I would suggest that the position of the national parties in local elections are the dominant force, and some 30-40% of the voters will have serious regard for the issues that affect them locally in their areas. And that's where we come in, which is why we've done probably better than than Essex, where we've got proportionately a greater number of Conservative councillors than they have, and obviously a lot of rivalry, as you know, in competition between Essex County Council and Kent.
Now, obviously UKIP had a big problem and its votes fell away. Do you think they came back to you in large numbers?
Oh, very much so. I mean, in my own division, in Birstead, a predominantly very safe seat, my majority was seriously affected 4 years ago, and today I'm very lucky. I've got a very strong vote and a very large majority.
Does it surprise you that they've disintegrated in quite such a spectacular fashion, or is it just simply the nature of their campaign was to secure a Brexit, and they got a Brexit, and then no other reason for being there?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody expected the UKIP vote to be substantially reduced, but we didn't expect the annihilation that's gone on from the results I heard this morning from Lincolnshire, Essex and now Kent, with not one UKIP county councillor, is beyond expectation, and I don't think many people would have predicted that meltdown.
Now, you've got a very big majority. Some people say that it's not necessarily healthy for democracy for one party to have so many people in power. Is that a view you share, or are you worried about being held to account properly?
Yes, no, I have empathy with that view. I think you do need a strong opposition. I mean, Trudy Dean, provided she remains leader of the Liberal group, will be the lead opposition party, and we all know she is a formidable political opponent.
You're not going to lose any votes, are you, with a majority of the size you've got?
No, but once you've gone over a certain number, it gets easier to get majorities on committees. But with executive governance and cabinet governance, that dynamic is very different than how it was some 8-10 years ago when we had the committee structure. But even the scrutiny role, role that the opposition carry out, is very important. And some say that having a much larger group to keep it as a coherent, cohesive, happy group becomes more challenging, and that will reflect obviously on my leadership skills, and I'm proud of. I was always enormously impressed by Sandy Bruce Lockhart, Lord Bruce Lockhart's leadership of Kent County Council, in how he maintained a happy team of Conservative councillors all working together and pulling in the same direction in public. What went on behind closed doors stayed behind closed doors. And I very much have been able to maintain that unity across the Conservative ranks. And we now have to work very hard to make sure that we continue having a cohesive, happy group that help and support arriving at the right decisions for the direction of travel for this authority.
We know that you have not always seen eye to eye with ministers on various issues and subjects. Are you going to stand up to government when it's taking decisions that you're not in favour of?
I will always stand up for whatever I feel to be the right position to take on the consultations. I mean, at the moment, there's a government consultation that's been frozen on the fair funding for schools and education, and I've been very strong on my views that I don't think that the current indicators of how that would be applied to all schools up and down the country is not hitting the right spot, and he's not delivering the fairness and equity needed in school funding, and I've been very vocal on that, and I will continue to be vocal until funding issues are resolved. As I say, the Secretary of State came up with a consultation of indicative budgets. I think that needs substantial change before it's brought into being.
Are you saying you want that completely revisited, scrapped maybe?
No, I'm not saying scrapped. I mean, I've had briefings from the civil servants that devise the methodology. It's the weightings of the various drivers for education funding, the cost drivers
that
need
to... In simple language, that means some schools not doing as well as they ought to be doing, in your view.
Well, I've always said that it's... And it, you know, I found this on the doorstep, where residents were telling me they'd always voted Conservatives, but they were concerned about the inequity in school funding and some of the restrictions in the breadth of the curriculum delivery. My issue is that there is too much weighting going into poor prior attainment and social deprivation on top of the pupil premium, whereby I've done the figures and a high school in East Kent with high social deprivation compared to a middle-of-the-road high school in West Kent is getting over £2 million a year more in their budget, including the pupil premium and the indicative budget set through the consultation. That cannot be right. It's skewed too far in one direction and restricted the majority of secondary schools that need additional funding, and getting that balance right is key.
Now, we know you're probably more in agreement over an issue like grammar schools. Are we going to see more grammar schools in Kent over the next 4 years?
Well, as I've said before, when we need to expand the proportion of grammar school places, we should be able to do so, and the hoops that we've had to go through to get the Seven Oaks annex underway has been highly complex. We've sorted out the problem in Seven Oaks for the girls. We now need to resolve grammar school education for the boys in Seven Oaks, and I hope the new regulation that comes in will allow us to do that in a much simpler way.
And finally, we all know that there's an issue around transport and the connectivity and the road network around Kent. You've got your Third Thames Crossing, but with all this traffic coming into Kent, something else needs to be done with the rest of the roads, doesn't it?
It's a massive issue, and the housing growth that Kent has taken in recent years has probably been proportionately more than any other part of this country, and we need help from national government in funding the infrastructure. Not necessarily the government always picking up the tab, but getting private institutional investment into the physical assets that are needed to support a growing population, and that, of course, is roads, public transport, hospitals, GP surgeries, et al.
And one final question. What are you going to say about adult social care? Because there's a real crisis there. You've said this current spending is fine, the injection of cash, but it's not sustainable over the long term. That really has to be addressed.
Well, we really welcome that additional £2 million, some £17 to £20 million for social care in Kent over the next 3 years. But as Theresa May has recognised, there needs to be a long-term sustainable funding mechanism for social care. And that may mean an insurance fund, either created by the private sector or by the public sector. And we've got to mirror and reflect some of the successful social care funding packages here across Europe, in Holland and Germany, and I'm told Japan have a way of producing a fund to support the elderly in old age, being able to draw down from that fund the costs of social care. Because at the moment, only 30% of the vulnerable in need of domiciliary care packages and residential care packages get state funded. The rest have to deplete their family wealth to pay for it. And we need to have a system that integrates health and social care, which is free at the point of delivery through that insurance fund, both for social care costs married to the free at the point of delivery for National Health Service services.
The fortunes of political parties always vary, don't they? It's ups and downs. Is this one of the best days for the Conservatives you've had?
Well, when I was on the doorstep, I said it's been the best ever. I've been canvassing and knocking on doors for some 40 years now, and the response we got on the doorstep was really very, very positive, and the most positive I've experienced, as I say, in those 40 years, and I've done a fair bit of that over that period of time.
And as leader, are you going to go on and on?
Review it year by year. I have to fill in a form to stand for my re-election by the Conservative group, and I certainly intend to go before I'm pushed. I won't overstay my welcome, there's a big agenda ahead, and I will be here for some time into the future with the backing and support of the Conservative group.
Paul Carter, thank you very much.